Wisdom, the final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium of podcast. This is day 1504 of our trek, and it is time for Meditation Monday. Taking time to relax, refocus, and reprioritize our lives is crucial in order to create a living legacy. For you, it may be just a time alone for quiet reflection, or you may utilize structured meditation practices. In my life, meditation includes reading and reflecting on God's Word and in prayer. It is a time to renew my mind, refocus on what is most important, and making sure that I am nurturing my soul, mind, and body. As you come along with me on a trek each Meditation Monday, it is my hope and prayer that you too will experience a time of reflection and renewing of your mind. We are continuing our series this week on Meditation Monday as we focus on mastering Bible study through a series of brief insights from Hebrew scholar Dr. Michael S. Heiser. Our current insights are focusing on what the Bible is. Today, let's meditate on Bible study, book order, and Hebrew text. Insight number 31. The books in your Bible are not in chronological order. Have you ever wondered how historians know when things in the ancient world really happened? How can we say with great confidence that some event occurred 1,000 years before Christ? How do we know with precision when the events of the life of Jesus in the early church really transpired? Ancient chronology is a fascinating subject. It is also amazingly complex since it deals with an ancient list of reigns of kings that have survived from antiquity and with ancient astronomical observations and their recordings. You don't need to devote yourself to understanding how all of these things are known to study the Bible, but it is pretty important to know, or at least have in mind, when they occurred. The books of the Bible are not chronologically order arranged. Ezekiel was not written after Jeremiah. Paul's epistles were not written in the order that they are listed in the New Testament. Even the books of 1 and 2 Samuel can be chronologically misleading. Samuel was the last of Israel's judges, right before the first king, Saul, came along. Consequently, 1 and 2 Samuel contains overlaps of Samuel's life and a time that followed the Torah, Joshua, and Judges in the events contained in those books. But the content of the book doesn't really tell us when the book was written. The fact is that 1 and 2 Samuel never claimed to be written by Samuel, and this adds to the chronological uncertainty. Scholars have done their best to determine when the books of the Bible were written, but there is a lot of disagreement. Yet the effort is worth it because knowing when a book was written is essential for developing certain theological ideas. For example, what Paul said about faith and works in Galatians, perhaps the earliest epistle, sounds a bit different than it does in Romans. Paul's comments were about specific events in Galatia, whereas Roman reflects a fuller treatment of the issue, one it is benefiting from years of preaching and addressing the issue to the churches. Another reason to know when the book was written is that it provides a glimpse of the writer's world. Knowing that the Egyptians wrote about the invasion of the sea people, from whom the Philistines derive, along Canaan's coast, helps us to put certain references of the Philistines in the Old Testament within context. Fortunately, this sort of information is available in reference works and good commentaries. Taking time to get your chronological bearings helps you to interpret the scripture that you're studying. Let's move on to insight number 32. The traditional Hebrew text of the Old Testament did not fall from heaven. I've already talked a little bit about how God did not specifically create Greek in the New Testament. This myth was popular before the 19th century, and it still remains influential to this day. A similar myth claims that the traditional Hebrew Old Testament, the Masoretic text, deserves a sacred status. It really doesn't, though, and being influenced by that idea can hinder your Bible study. Several tools can help English readers with the original languages. Other tools guide English readers to what various manuscripts say that might diverge from something in their translation. Manuscript copies of the Hebrew Old Testament have slight variations, but none of these affect central doctrines, and Bible translations will sometimes note these with small wording changes. If you think the traditional Hebrew text is sink or sink, these tools won't help you. The myth claims that the Hebrew text hasn't changed since its original composition, that the ancient Jewish scribes, the Masoretes, didn't change a letter. The Dead Sea Scrolls are often rolled out to make this argument, but it's still a myth, and the scrolls themselves demonstrate that. The problem with this myth is that the work of the Masoretes only began around AD 100, when the Jewish religious authorities standardized the Hebrew Bible, which was the Old Testament. There were various manuscripts of the Hebrew Bible in existence before that time. The most important one is the text from which the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, was created. The Septuagint was very popular with early Christians and naturally with the writers of the New Testament. It was popular because it was a Greek translation. However, the Hebrew text from which the Septuagint was translated and the text known today as the Masoretic text differs in some ways. The rabbis wanted a standardized text for their community, so in AD 100, they took the existing text and used them to produce a single text that would be copied from that point on. And that's what's referred to as the Masoretic text. The Dead Sea Scrolls preserve differences from the other text. The other texts are where many of the marginal notes in your study Bible actually come from. My point is this. Don't be afraid to seriously entertain an alternate textual reading that are contained within your Bible footnotes. You might actually be returning closer to the original reading. And let's close with our verse for today. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. And that's a wrap for today's meditation. Next week we will continue our trek on Meditation Monday as we take time to reflect on what is most important in creating our living legacy. On tomorrow's text we will explore another wisdom quote. This 3-minute wisdom supplement will assist you on becoming healthy, wealthy, and wise each day. Thank you for joining me for this trek that we call life, and encourage your friends and family to join us and to come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,503 daily treks or read the daily journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor, but most importantly, I am your friend, as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward, enjoy your journey, and create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.